Good evening, chaps. My name's Andy. I'm the editor of Rice and Zen, the online Kyoto magazine, and this is about the third time I've tried to record this micro-podcast over the past few days, but I got a little bit carried away and hit Audioboo's limit, and it wouldn't do to sign off without saying a proper goodbye. So I was trying to tell you a story about a lady I was talking to who had sent her son off to study abroad, and her son's school, supposedly a good one with a good reputation, had told the parents not to contact the kids. Which is probably some, you know, high-minded, we want to promote immersion in the language and don't interfere type thing. But they had no system in place to inform the parents about the kids' well-being. So she was naturally a little worried. The only thing they did, very unsystematically, was post pictures of groups on the internet of an evening. But they didn't make sure they got a complete group. So they would post photos without a few of the kids present, including this lady's son. So she naturally panicked and was panicked for 3 days, but never thought to tell the school that she thought this was unacceptable. She just went with it. The only mothers who weren't worried about their kids were the ones who did it in inverted commas Western style, ignored the rules and contacted their kids anyway. In the end, she was passing messages to another mother and that mother's son in the foreign country to find out if her son was okay. So it was, I said, deeply unacceptable, and she, as a member of the PTA, could do something about this. She could insist that the school set up a system to inform parents of the whereabouts. Perhaps the host family would be obliged to send a message to the parents or email them or anything. But she just sort of brushed this off and went shogunai, which means can't be helped, which is a phrase often used in Japan when things can be helped, but people don't tend to push for change. No sooner had I had this conversation than I was reading online on the New York Times about the story of Mrs. Sakai, 64 years old, whose car, made by Toyota of Japan, surged forward nearly 300 feet, slamming into a Mercedes-Benz and a taxi, injuring the drivers and breaking her collarbone. She was urged to claim that she had accidentally pressed the accelerator, and if she did so, she would get her damaged car back and she could have it repaired. If she made that admission, she, being one of the rare cases, declined. Pushing her nose into this phenomenon a little, she found that there is a moribund consumer rights movement out there in Japan, but there is a real lack of consumer protections, and the Japanese government overtly put business over consumers and failed to apply labor laws or consumer laws in basically a conspiracy, not in the sort of spooky sense, but in a mutual agreement not to prosecute in the name of serving the economy. So Meat Hope, for example, in 2008 was found to be mixing pork and mutton and chicken into products falsely labeled as pure ground beef, but it was doing so under the noses of food inspectors. And in 2006 in Japan, a gas water heater company called Paloma was selling products that were defective and killed 21 people from carbon monoxide poisoning. They insisted that the users had tampered with their devices, but later they admitted that the heaters were at fault and that the executives had been aware of the problem for a decade and nothing had been done about it. And this in turn reminded me of that old story you may have heard already about the famous bank robbery that happened in Japan. A man walks into the bank and tells the manager that he has been sent here from the local government to give everyone a vaccination, a shot of medicine, and could he please collect his staff together, which he dutifully did. Everybody gathered together. I think I read this. They gathered in the car park or some kind of courtyard. They each drank their shot of medicine, which turned out to be, I think, cyanide. Or another poison. They all died, and the man cleared out the safe or the bank without any opposition. And at no point did anybody say, you know, I'm not putting a single thing in my mouth until I get some confirmation, a phone call, I see some ID, and even then, this is my decision. It's not for the local government to say. So this is used as a case study of how some people follow authority. I think the expression is blindly or non-discriminately. So, yeah, these are some examples that are forming a sort of a feature, an article in my head, but I'd be interested to know if you have any experience of people who blindly follow authority. And I think in Western countries this is indicative of... This is synonymous with the rise of Nazism, but over here perhaps it doesn't have that connotation. Anyway, I'm reaching the 5-minute mark now, so I shall sign off and bid you adieu. Please check out ofriceandzen.org, and I'll speak to you again soon. Bye-bye.